I'm going to read from the Bible this morning. I'm going to read from John chapter 10, and Chris is going to come now and read for us John chapter 10 from verse 1, and Jesus declaring he is the shepherd.
The good shepherd and his sheep. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Thank you, God, for your holy word.
Before I became a minister, I was a shepherd. I was about 6 years old, and I did so with a tea towel on my head. And maybe you have been a shepherd too. Shepherds make an important contribution to the events of the first Christmas. It was to the shepherds that the angels come announcing the news of Jesus' birth as they watched their flocks by night. And many of us will have reenacted that with tea towels, dish towels on our heads or whatever. But shepherds also, they are also mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. In the Old Testament, there was David. David, who was a shepherd boy who became a king. And he wrote Psalms, and he wrote a psalm about how the Lord was his shepherd. "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want, I'll not need." But also shepherds were, the image of a shepherd was used to talk about the leaders of the day. And so in a book called Ezekiel in the Old Testament, the leaders were, as I say, described as shepherds, and they're described as shepherds who weren't actually very good shepherds of the people. But it then goes on to talk about how, because these leaders have failed as to be shepherds of the people, that actually God himself would be their shepherd. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, it says, so will I, God, look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. The Lord is our shepherd. The Lord wants to be our shepherd. And then in our passage this morning, we have Jesus describing himself as the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. In the run-up to Christmas, as a church here, we've been looking at certain claims that Jesus made about himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine that we're thinking about last week. And this is another one. I am the good shepherd. And in doing so, he's picking up on the theme, isn't he, of the Old Testament, of the Lord being the shepherd, or the Lord being our shepherd, and of the theme of God shepherding his people, watching over them, caring for them. And he said, I am the good shepherd. I am the shepherd that is being pointed towards. So if he is the good shepherd, what kind of shepherd is he? Well, he's a shepherd in whom we can find security, safety. Some of us will be familiar with the words of the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's my shepherd. We might have sung it in funerals. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green, he leads me the quiet waters by. And it goes on, the Psalm, to talk about the shepherd's provision, the shepherd's protection, the shepherd's guidance of their sheep. Everyone in these days knew that it was the shepherd's main responsibility to care for the sheep, to lead them to pasture, to keep them safe at night, to rescue them when they'd wander off. Remember the story Jesus told of the 100 sheep and of how there was one lost sheep and the shepherd goes and finds it. And so when Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he's saying, if you have me as your shepherd, then I am a shepherd whom you can follow and with whom you can feel safe. Even when your world is falling apart, I'll be there with you. I'll be watching over you. I will always be your shepherd. In the Judean countryside where Jesus was, where Jesus lived, there are ravines. And a shepherd will have to lead their sheep through these ravines and through these dangerous places. They're prone to flash floods, there's steep drops, and there's kind of hidden predators. It's true even today. And when a shepherd knows a ravine is risky, they don't rush the sheep or abandon them. Go, well, there's a ravine here. You'll just have to cope with this on your own. No, the shepherd walks slowly, speaking to them, keeping his rod and staff perhaps visible. And the sheep, aware of the danger, stay close together and keep their eyes on the shepherd. And as long as they can hear the voice of the shepherd, as long as they know the presence is there, they move forward calmly. And they do so even in places that would normally cause them to panic. The shepherd is here. Jesus Christ is a shepherd who we can trust, who we can depend upon, even in the dangers of the ravines around us. Even in the danger of the ravines that we might even be in this morning. And perhaps this morning you just need the reminder that the Good Shepherd is with you. He provides security, safety. He's also a shepherd who calls us by name. In verse 3, we read, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Then in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. A shepherd in these days wouldn't have had a large flock. They wouldn't have had thousands or hundreds of sheep. It was more common, actually, probably to have 20 or 30 sheep. And any shepherd, if they were any good at being shepherds, would know each of their sheep. Probably each have different names, and the shepherd would be able to distinguish them all and tell them apart from their look, but also by their character. And that is what Jesus is highlighting here. He's saying, I know my sheep. I know my sheep by name. So you see, to Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we're not people who are nameless, numbers. What he's getting at here is he's saying, I know who you are. We're real people to him. He knows each of us personally. And just as a shepherd would know the various characteristics of their sheep, he knows our characteristics. He knows our worries. He knows our ambitions. He knows our habits. He knows our likes and our dislikes. And he calls us each by name. And he yearns that we would get to know him too. That we might have a relationship with him. That we might know his shepherding care in our lives, so that he might provide for us what is said in the reading, life in all of its fullness, life to the full. Remember the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector in the days of Jesus. And as a tax collector, he was despised by many. Tax collectors are different nowadays. But tax collectors in these days, they were often cheats, and they worked for the occupying power. So they were despised. And it seems that Zacchaeus was pretty greedy. And he was a small man. And he wants to see Jesus. Jesus is in town. But he can't see Jesus because he's so small. So what he does is he climbs a tree. Health and safety wasn't a thing these days. And he climbed a tree. Thinks nobody can see him. Thinks, I'll just see Jesus from afar. And what happens? Jesus looks up into the tree and he says, Zacchaeus. He calls him by his name, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I'm coming to your house today. And Zacchaeus' life was transformed. Salvation came to his house. Zacchaeus was a lost sheep. If ever there was a lost sheep, he had money, he had that kind of success, but he was lost. There was that something still missing. He was looking for something. He was looking for Jesus. And Jesus calls him by his name, Zacchaeus. Or remember the story of the account on Easter Day, and there is Mary. Mary had been a friend of Jesus, and she's in the garden, and she believes that Jesus is dead because she's seen his dead body. But something's happening. The tomb is empty, and she's in the garden, and she's bereft. She's crying. She's in despair. She's like a lost sheep without a shepherd. And then she hears somebody beside her. She doesn't realize who it is. She thinks it's the gardener. And then that somebody says to her, Mary. He calls her by her name. And she realizes this man is Jesus himself, risen from the dead. And she turns round and she cries out to him, Teacher or Master. In effect, she's saying, My shepherd, my guide, my protector, my savior. He calls them by name. And Jesus Christ comes to us, and he in a sense calls us by our name. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows our good points, our bad points, our hopes and our dreams. And he yearns to have us in his flock, to be our shepherd, to guide and protect us so that we might have life to the full. He's calling you by name. He's also a shepherd who's prepared to give his life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. In a few days' time, we will celebrate the birth of Jesus. But here he points not to his birth, but he points towards his death. And he points to the fact that he would lay down his life for us, for the sheep. And he's pointing to how he would be nailed to a cross, taking our guilt, taking our shame, taking our brokenness, taking our anxieties all upon himself. So that we might have life. Life in all of its fullness. The Bible elsewhere talks about how he became a curse for us so that we might know forgiveness, cleansing, and a new life. He's a shepherd who isn't just prepared to risk his life, to put his life in danger, but he's willing to sacrifice it, to lay it down. Who are you willing to die for? Who are you willing to lay down your life for? Jesus, the Good Shepherd, was willing to lay his life down for you and for me. That we might be free, that we might have life, that we might have peace. We live in a wonderful world, a world of great beauty and wonder. But it's also, isn't it, a world where there's also anxiety, and there's stuff that is wrong. There's a lot of stuff that is wrong. There is brokenness. And as we approach Christmas, we will see adverts, and we will see images, perhaps on social media, of the perfect Christmas, with the perfect food, with the perfect gifts, with the perfect lights, the perfect family. But try as we might, that perfection isn't real. We could have a great Christmas, and hopefully we all have a great Christmas, but none of us are able to have the perfect Christmas because of life, because stuff in our world. But this Christmas, we have a good shepherd. We have a good shepherd who offers us life and life in all of its fullness. We've got a shepherd who says, I will watch over you and I will guide you in the ravines in your life. I'm a good shepherd who will knows you by your name. And who's willing to die for you. And willing to die for me. And this Christmas we can know the Good Shepherd. And he calls us this morning. He says, let me this Christmas be your shepherd. Let me in 2026 be your shepherd with whatever it will hold. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd of the sheep, we thank you that you are not a distant God, but one who walks ahead of us, who knows the dangers of the path, and who never abandons those in your care. For those of us walking through dark ravines this morning, places of fear, uncertainty, grief, or weariness, help us to hear your voice again. Help us to fix our eyes on you, to know that we're not alone. Good Shepherd, we thank you that you call us by name. You know us better than we know ourselves, our worries, our hopes, our failures, our longings. When we feel lost, overlooked, forgotten, remind us that we are known, that we're loved and precious to you. And Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are a shepherd who was willing to lay down your life for the sheep. Thank you for the cross, for forgiveness freely given, for new life and life in all of its fullness. As we journey towards Christmas, amidst all the noise and expectations, help us to listen for your voice, to follow where you lead, and to rest in the safety of your care. We hear you calling us this morning by name. Help us to respond with trust, with faith, with love. For we ask this in your name. Amen.